All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Sergeant and Mrs. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Is that a tub in the kitchen?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
Night racing is back at Richmond Raceway. This spring, top NASCAR drivers like Ryan Blaney, Chase Elliott, Bubba Wallace, Ross Chastain, and Virginia's own Denny Hamlin will battle under the bright lights. And this historic track also offers a rocking infield experience with unparalleled access to your favorite drivers and one of the best tailgate scenes around. For a weekend of friends, family, and amazing short track action, head to Richmond Raceway, March 29th through 31st. Get tickets now at richmondraceway.com.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Like, I have a debt to pay to them guys. We're going to win a Stanley Cup for them.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Dome Podcast. All right, this little, what is it, a five-game homestand? Four-game homestand? After the ridiculousness of some of the worst hockey we've seen in a long ass time, on the last episode, we were pointing to this homestand as pretty crucial in terms of trying to navigate what do we actually have here. I'm still unsure. And I mean, we're getting results, winners of 3 out of 4. You struggle pretty. And I mean, it's always the same old thing when you have these teams like Arizona that they're supposed to suck. You're supposed to beat them, but they're not easy wins. Like, it's not like the 90s or the 80s where you should win these games like 8-0 or whatever. It's like you can very easily lose a game. And they were close to losing the game. I mean, Arizona had those, what, 3 chances, point-blank range.
Oh, man.
That they were missing nets on. Like, the Flames should have probably been behind in that game. And then we're hoping for a comeback. But thankfully, Arizona can't finish as almost as bad as we can't finish. It's still kind of a theme. You saw it again in the Montreal game for sure. I mean, we saw some splash goal scoring against Washington in Florida, which was nice. But I don't know, the past four games, winners of three. What's your kind of main takeaway in terms of, are you getting a sense with what we have yet? Are we still, is there still question marks? Are we just like, we are going to have trouble scoring goals?
Yeah, I think it's both of those. We're going to have trouble scoring goals, but it's also still some of the guys on this team, I think mostly, most specifically Huberto, it's like, you don't really know yet, right? It's like, yeah. Even though we keep saying you're probably not going to score a lot of goals, it's like, well, why not? It's like the guy had 150, you have a guy who had 115 points last year. Kadri had a huge year last year, like Mangiapane, 35 goals. It's kind of like we keep saying they're not going to score as many goals, but it's also, in the back of my mind, it's like, well, why aren't they going to score as many goals? Like, there's a lot of guys who should be able to score goals on this team, no? So,
yeah, it's a good point. I mean, the last four games, you've seen two individuals in particular, Dubé and Mangiapane, finally.
And I mean, even if you follow this thread of like, hey, now they're depth, they have more depth down the middle, because all we've ever been saying is if Backlund's your 3C, that means you're pretty set. Well, it means those guys should be, you know, there should be more production at every level. So I don't know if I'm still, I don't know where I'm at on the, we can't score goals things. I think it's still trying to work it out, because you obviously think Huberto has more to give. You obviously think Lindholm has more to give. Like, I think the stat is we're the only team in the league without a guy who has 20 points. So you'd imagine at some point, some of these guys are going to get on a bit of a roll. Mangiapane and Dubé,
they're on a roll currently.
They're on a roll. You think Huberto and Lindholm will start getting on a roll. Kadri last night kind of broke a pretty extended slump. So
3 points last night, yep.
Yeah, I don't know. It's still, you know what? It's weird because there is like this weird sense, because everybody wants to be patient, right? But it's also weird because this team has a pretty, it's trying to balance the emotions of, okay, we have to be patient because there's a lot of new guys, but also there's a lot of old guys who a lot of money's owed to, and this window is not going to be open for very long over the next 2-3 years. So it's like, you have to be patient, but also there's the time constraint that there's a very real like expiration date on a lot of these guys over the next few years. So it's hard to be patient because it's like, we need to see results now. It's very difficult to deal with emotionally.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's as a fan too, if you're quarter of the way into the season.
Yeah.
And you're not even sure if these guys can make it happen. And you've had to watch some shitty games, which there have been a handful for sure, especially as of late, then it's hard to stay patient. I think, you know, on the last episode, we were kind of like at our breaking point. We needed to see some serious movement forward in this home stretch. They are getting the results. They finally scored a fucking power play goal, a big one, one that actually helps you win a hockey game. What a fucking concept. Is that the first? I'm not even kidding. I know we've had power play goals this season, but they seem to be kind of meshed in if we're already got a lead or it's not early, it's early in the game. Has the power play scored a game-winning goal like that at a crucial point at any point this season?
I do not believe so, no.
That was a relief. And how do they do it, everybody?
I think maybe in the first game against Colorado, they might have had a big power play goal, but that was the only time I can remember.
How many cross crease or cross ice one time attempts have we even seen? Attempts?
Zero. You try that was the first one. Fucking, I'm serious.
Try it once, it works. What? Like, what a fucking concept. It's not rocket science. All you got to do is watch the best power plays in the league. That's all that we've been saying. That's don't pretty, fucking watch the best power play.
It's a pretty that's basic power play setup. They go low, and then there's multiple passing options for a one-timer in front.
Rasmus Anderson in the last two games has gotten hella space up top. It's funny because you're just like, now that we've kind of honed in on this concept of like inch closer towards the net. If you watch Cale Makar, if you give Cale Makar the kind of space Anderson had the last two games, you're fucked. Anderson just barely moves. He moves half a foot forward. He's got like 8 feet to take. He'll take half a foot.
He swings back so his feet are outside the blue line.
He was creeping a bit. He's getting those shots off. I think he helped set up the first power play goal last night against the Coyotes. Is it Coyotes or Coyotes? What do you say?
I say Coyotes.
Okay, that's what I say too, but I've heard Coyotes. Is that just...
I think it's either or.
Really?
I think it's a Huberto situation.
I kind of feel like if you're saying Coyotes, you got something wrong with you. No offense.
No, you know what? I feel like definitely we do say when I'm talking about an actual coyote. See, I'm going to say coyote. I'm talking about a wild animal. I say coyote. I don't say a coyote, but I call them the Arizona Coyotes.
Coyote or coyote? Or I guess that would be the Huber Hubo.
That's true.
Not ute? Is it tiger or tigger? No, sorry. Is it tiger or tagger?
What?
Some people say taggers.
Who does?
My dad says taggers.
What the hell's wrong with them?
That's what I think when I hear it. I'm like, nah, what's wrong with you? All right, well, coming back on track here. This, where do you want to start with this? There's four games.
Let's start with the Florida game. We've had an emotional week with Tkachuk and Monahan coming back. So not only are emotions high because...
And Yusso Valimaki.
Dude, that is the most Flames thing I've ever seen. So if you didn't see this, they misspelled... They didn't do a welcome back, which was fine. They didn't need to.
The video, you mean?
Yeah, but they had a little graphic on the Jumbotron last night welcoming Yusso back. And his name is spelled wrong.
Like, seriously. if you didn't see this, because we put it on Instagram and Twitter, but if you didn't see it... Does this not sum up Yusso's time here to a T? Welcome back, bud. You're going to spell your fucking name wrong on the Jumbotron.
You can't even spell
18,000 people.
Yeah, the guy you wouldn't trade for Mark Stone, you spelled his name wrong. Good job, guys.
Like, nobody.
Like, how many people did that have to go through before it was approved?
Well, I guess, yeah, that's my point. I'm sure it didn't run through Bradtree Living, but. You'd think somebody would catch it because it is funny. It is a metaphor. It is like a metaphor of totally his timer, I think. It's so bad. So anyways, Chucky makes his return. That was fun. You did a little Instagram thing. All of his favorite, you know, memories and whatnot.
Yeah, it's been an emotional... Because, you know, like, there's so many... It's such a weird... situation that we're in, because usually when there's this much roster turnover, it is in a rebuild or a blow it up situation, but there's so much, you know, so much, like, even I said, like, you want to be patient with these new guys, but it's also like constrained by this, you know, holy shit, we need to win now because in 3 years all these guys, like, right, like, it's just,
well, everything is a comparison, right?
Yeah,
it's like, so, Neil will continue to compare Neil and Lucic for the end of time.
So when you have Chucky coming into town and has been fucking awesome this year, lights out. He's got
lights.
I think he's top five in scoring right now. Anyways, it's just, and I haven't made a connection with the new guys yet. You see him come back to town, you're just like, God damn, I miss him so much.
I know. Would you say he was on pace for 120 or something?
120 points.
Currently on pace for 120 points.
Yeah.
Like, Johnny's having a good season, but he's only on pace for like 90 or something.
Yeah, I think Johnny is kind of Johnny. Tkachuk is like, yeah, he's like just, like you said, you texted me the other day. He's like, yeah, he's just hitting his prime.
Dude, just.
Like, just
now. We haven't even seen prime Chucky.
I think he's now, he's on pace for 121 points. He's seventh in league scoring right now. League scoring is insane. Freaking Tage Thompson has 34 points. Like, what's going on?
Barkov's been injured.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, he's so good. Like, they creamed Vancouver the other night. And I know he was quiet in the Flames game, but I was there, and I was just
He was doing us a favor.
Yeah.
He's taking it easy on us.
He still loves us. But it was funny because I, like, ISO watched him all night. Because that's the thing I miss the most. When I say, like, I miss these guys so much, I just miss watching them play for the Flames because they're so fun to watch. He's such a good player. But if you... watch the game on TV or didn't catch it, like, you probably would have been like, oh, he was pretty quiet, but he's still really good. He made so many good little plays that, you know, we just miss on the team so much. He made a lot of good plays on Hanifin where it was like he knew what dumb Hanifin was going to do and he would just strip him of the puck. So he was pretty quiet antics wise, but I feel like he's got a bit of a Lucic with the Edmonton thing going on where he's always going to kind of go easy on the Flames.
Yeah, well, you saw it against Lindholm. He accidentally on purpose steamrolls Lindholm in the neutral zone and then feels bad. So he picks him up, apologizes on the spot.
It was pretty funny because, like, okay, we were there and we were pretty pissed, we're butthurt about people booing him.
Yeah, that was interesting.
I didn't expect funny, him though. To be booed like that, but...
No, but you know what was funny was that at least at the beginning of the game, this is from on TV anyway, so you can verify this, there was like some booing, and then they did the video tribute, and it sounded like a really good ovation. And then everybody booed afterwards.
Yeah, it was hilarious. So
at least, at least there's a chronological, logical.
It was fitting because I was pissed at first. So I was like, oh, don't boo him. But then it got a standing ovation after the little video tribute and one of the TV times out. And then like he was on the ice for that shift. And it's like went from cheering immediately to booing. It was freaking hilarious. So yeah, I thought it was pretty fitting, actually.
Now you have people just fun booing.
Exactly. If it's fun, it's good. And he knows, Chucky knows it was a, we love you, but fuck you also.
Yeah. Did he, I didn't see anything after the game. Did he make a post-game comment about it?
They asked him about it and he just said, no, I've seen them boo anybody who used to play here before. So it's not a big surprise.
Yeah. Welcome to Canada, Chucky.
Yeah.
We hate you now, but we'll still love you forever. We can do both. Why can't we do both? I can love and hate him at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. Like you said, it's, what did you call it? Fun booing or something?
Yeah, fun booing.
Yeah, it's just trolling. I like it.
Yeah. So there's an explosion of scoring. This game, I only saw the first period live because I went and watched Connor Bedard play the Kelowna Rockets. Sitting on ice level, got a really good look at him. Very interesting player. I don't know if you want to talk about it because it's not Flames content. But maybe in a nutshell, he skates really weird. He's really upright. I thought he was going to be bigger, but he's pretty small. But he's not flashy like McDavid is. I mean, I've seen some highlight goals, so he has some flash. But he's very skilled one-on-one. He beat a few guys. I'm like, holy shit, what move was that? I don't even like, somehow he just got around him, right? And then he's got an unreal quick release that he loves to do, like in the high slot.
Yeah.
So he was held off the score sheet for most of the game, even though he was sniffing around it. There's another player on the Rockets. His name is Kristall. Like, what a fucking name, Kristall.
Kristall.
Anyways, he had 3 points. He was the better player in the whole game. But then Bedard sets up the overtime winner. That was a great game. I saw him the next night in Kamloops as well. He had 2 goals, but they got shit canned and Stankoven was better that night.
Yeah. Yeah. Good thing the Flames didn't draft Stankoven, eh? That was a bit of a whiff.
But regardless, I know those guys are older than Bedard, but Bedard is, he's legit. He's going to be,
dude, fun. He's a freak. And if Vancouver was smart, they'd sell everything, tank, get him this year.
Dude, Vancouver is about to do what they always do, start off in the most ridiculous hole ever,
mm-hmm.
start playing good, go on a bit of a heater, make it interesting, then miss the playoffs just barely. I called it at the beginning of the season. That looks like they're going
to
do that right
now. I sure hope so, because if they're in on the Bedard sweepstakes and we have to deal with Bedard and McDavid in the same division, I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah, no shit, eh?
Not
did you
doing,
see that? Did
not
you see their? That. Did you see that game last night? Vancouver versus Montreal.
I saw Monahan scored the third goal, so I was like, oh sweet. So I had kind of tuned out after it was 3-4 for Montreal, and then I was just about to go to bed, and it's 6. What the hell?
Well, yeah, and the Canucks had 2 leads, 4-0.
That was
insane.
They came
back from 4-0, so they're up 5-4, and then Montreal went up 6-5, and then Vancouver had to tie it up and went overtime. What a game!
That's crazy.
Anyways, back to the Florida game. You had an explosion of scoring in the first period, which is amazing because we're sitting here in frustration world.
Yeah.
And what's the best way to just get over frustration? Goals. Dubé for Munch.
And goals from certain people, right? Like Dubé, Huberto.
Anderson. You're up 3-0 early in the game. You're looking dominant.
Yeah.
Was that the first time they were blasty all season?
Yeah.
Did I not fucking call it?
What?
Dubé? Yeah. Dubé and blasty?
Dude, Dubé in dark uniforms, apparently. What a freak.
Well, apparently maybe Mangiapane as well. Like,
yeah.
Such a freak. This game was, I don't know, you were there. Tell us some more.
Yeah, I don't know. It wasn't like, I don't know if the Flames were as dominant at as the score might have suggested. They played well, and they finally got to burying their chances, but Sergei Bobrovsky is really bad.
Yeah, I watched him the night before. I watched the Oilers game the night before, and Spencer Knight was fucking awesome. So I'm happy we got the shitty end of the goaltending.
Like, the Flames came out flying, right? Like, that Dubé, the shorthanded goal was great. Oh, oh man, that was sweet. Munch with a sweet dangle.
Yep.
The Huberto power play goal, but it is kind of just like a shot from the point that just ends up going in. And then the Rasmus Anderson, like, it just, the Flames didn't dominate. They just came out, had a nice first period, and that was kind of the game. So I don't think they were 6-2 dominant, but they were good enough, and the goalie wasn't very good.
Yeah. That Huberto, was that the one that they thought was kicked in or something?
Yeah. It kind of just like floated in from the point, bounced. It was like ping ball, pinballing all over the place and kind of doinked in. Hubie needed that one, though. He was like jacked up.
Yep. What's it like seeing Brett Ritchie score live?
For the fifth goal this year, dude. All his five goals.
All his goals are like, dude, did you fat on that and it just went in?
All his goals are like,
hey, remember Leafy's used to score like that?
It's like he missed, but it like doinks off the goalie's paddle and still goes in somehow.
So what's the count up now for Lucic? How many games has it been?
Oh, I think it's almost 80. 78. It's got to be in the 80s. I think it's, dude, like 81 or 82. I'm not sure.
How is that even possible, man?
Because he's terrible.
Dude, a full season?
He's so bad.
That's a full season. No goals. Nobody goes through a full season. No forward that plays every single fucking night and actually gets ice time every single fucking night goes through a whole season without scoring a goal.
Yeah, it's...
Defensemen do that. The stay-at-home ones do.
I'm trying to, like, yeah, I got to pull this up and see, like, who the other players are who have, like, have this kind of streak going on in terms
How
of,
is he not just even, like, accidentally scored like Ritchie does?
Well, he did, but it was taken away from him.
I know.
Because at least Ritchie is, like, sometimes in spots where it's like, okay, a normal player would be there. Lucic doesn't do that anymore. He doesn't do anything anymore, actually.
That was sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, I was just looking at Lucic's number today. He's, like, the only player who's, like, a negative in every single statistic you can imagine on the team.
What a catch 22, eh? Like, fucking, what can you do? Like, if you can't get rid of him, can you send him down to the minors?
Well, you know what? I was thinking about this today. I was like, okay, well, why is Lucic not, like, right? Because Ritchie even was scratched last night in favor of the Rune Dog. Two games in a row? Yeah.
Fuck, is he bad, eh?
Oh, man, he's terrible. Somebody sent me, like, a clip. Lucic has the puck behind the net, and Rooney, for some reason, is, like, skating towards the defensive zone. Oh, it's just, he's bad. He's so bad. But,
like, okay. It's partially got to be a confidence thing, too. There's no way he's that bad.
I hope not.
Like, I haven't seen his stats from prior seasons. Does he have any points?
I don't even think he existed. Like, that's how much I knew about him. When they signed him, I was like, hey, you got to be making this up. He must have an assist. I think he has at least an assist. Yeah, he's got one assist.
Got 1 point on the season.
Yeah, so does Lucic, has 5 assists. The Rune Dog has 1 assist in 17
games. Boy, they're lucky Brett Ritchie knows how to score, eh? Fucking sniper over there.
But, right, like, hey, why is Ritchie out? Because, I mean, in terms of Brett Ritchie's measuring stick, he's been great this year, right? Meeting his expectation. 5 goals. Oh, yeah,
but you got to have Lucic in there for those fights he starts.
Right? So, like, he doesn't fight. He doesn't score. He's been brutal in his own. He's been a turnover machine. He leads the forwards in giveaways, and he plays 10 minutes a night. Or not even that. Probably plays 10 minutes a night. Which is too much. But he
had another one last night.
Leads the brutal one that led to the goal eventually. It was brutal. Like, just like, he's not doing anything. So why is he still playing? And you know what? Like, I have a little theory on this. Is like, I think Daryl knows that if he scratches Lucic, Lucic is going to throw a temper tantrum. And it's going to be like, he's lost Lucic for the rest of the season. which is
I don't think Daryl gives a fuck, dude.
Because remember when Bill Peters was like benching Lucic?
Yeah, and he almost and quit. It's probably
his response was, "Yeah, I'm gonna retire." Like that's what you're dealing with here, like. For being Mr. Leadership
Mr.
Mature, exactly. Being Mr. Mature, he seems to be pretty pouty and like think he deserves ice time.
What else can we do with that 5.5? Is it 5.5 mil? 5.25 mil?
5.25.
Yes, I could think of a lot of things we could do with 5.25 million and have the worst player on our team off the roster.
It would be great.
If I'm Brad, or Daryl, that would be my game plan. It almost worked with Bill Peters.
Or some insurance.
Is he still the fan favorite if he doesn't do anything?
I think people are growing very weary of this. I think even the Lucic people are growing weary of this.
Are the Lucic chants lessening in the dome, or do they seem any?
Yeah, for sure. The Lucic, like, seriously. And the other thing is more been like, doing, yeah, it's like a few people are like, but like, he's been on a mad rampage of like blocking people on Twitter, too. Like, seriously, like, everyone I talked to was like, yeah, Lucic blocked me on Twitter for like no reason. Like, everyone on Flames Twitter is blocked by Lucic right now. I don't know what his deal is right now.
I wonder if I got blocked.
I mean, probably. Like, he, even if you like mention his name, like even in like a positive context, it's like blocked instantly. It's crazy. So listen, it's low hanging fruit to rip on Lucic, but when he's supposed to be Mr. Leadership and he's been so like he's been terrible.
I'm not blocked. But I don't really ever mention
you don't
I never,
mention
I never tag.
Why would you?
I talk about players, but I don't tag them. Yeah.
He does nothing. But yeah, I think most people are becoming incredibly weary of the Lucic thing because Matt Phillips is just sitting there while Lucic is up here doing nothing. So,
well, this has been the topic du jour. Like, it's one thing, and we kind of saw this last season, right? There were points in the season where you're just like, yeah, you know, like we're dominating teams, but then we went on a little bit of a skid and whatever, whatnot. But it's one thing if you keep on winning and winning. Yeah. There's not a lot you can really complain about, right? And Daryl even alludes to that, right? He's talking about the goal scoring, how we're not scoring as many goals. We lost 240 goal scorers. And the scoring, that extra goal and a half, in his words, helps cover up all these mistakes that we're seeing. Yeah. I mean, it's not really much different than last year, except that we can't outscore these little mistakes we're making, and we can't outscore Lucic's mistakes. He sure as shit can't. So it's one thing if you're still winning and you're still scoring to have anchors like this that literally have a negative impact. Because like you and I, we have this conversation and we're not even being dicks about it. We're just like, what does he actually do? Because he's not fighting. So you can't make a case for like, oh yeah, he's bringing toughness, protection. Maybe just having the lineup is a form of protection. Is he
who had more of an impact when Gilbert was up here? Gilbert or Lucic? Who would you rather have on your team,
dude?
If you want that element,
smashing guys,
yeah,
it's fucking great. Zadorov is absolutely crushing guys on a nightly basis.
Mm-hmm.
Lucic, has he fucking demolished anybody even in the corner with a big hit? I know he bangs the body around, he crashes, but like. We've seen nothing on the positive spectrum of things. We've seen a lot on the negatives. The guy's a liability currently.
Turnover machine. Team worst. Like, he's been on the ice for so many scoring chances. It's insane.
So at what point, like, do you have any options? Or are you just stuck with him? Actually, I'm asking, are you allowed to send him down to the minors? Can you make him a healthy scratch? I guess you
that. Yeah, you could just scratch him. That's all you can do. Or you can try to get him to go to Vancouver in a Brock Besser deal, maybe. But you'd have to just scratch him, which I don't know. I wish Daryl would go down that road already.
Did he scratch Monahan last season?
Yep.
Yo, okay, you're going to scratch Monahan, but you won't scratch Lucic. I guess if you win us one Stanley Cup in your life, you're immune from fucking any benching or scratching for the rest of your
life. Well, and see, that's where I don't, like, I don't remember if this was in the context of the Phillips question or what the, but he answered a question and it was something like, hey, if you're not scoring, you better be doing other things like playing solid defense in your own zone. And it's like, yeah, he's Lucic. That doesn't apply to Lucic at all. He's been terrible. He doesn't have any goals and he's been a complete liability in his own end.
There's a reckoning for the young guys, but for Lucic, it's the opposite. Yeah,
it's weird. Like,
play terrible and I'll keep playing you. You're a young guy, you make one mistake, that's it.
If all he brings is this great leadership and he's just a great guy in the room, then there should be no problem with scratching him and he would have a good attitude about it, in theory.
Yeah, get the fucking pom-poms out. Get on the bench.
Exactly. But it seems he's a bit of a pouter and would probably have a hissy fit if he was not playing, which seems to be maybe the case.
Well, we should just check with Cassie Campbell. She's read all the facial expressions.
She's collected his frowns and smiles per 60 the last 2 years.
We should check with him his emotional state right now on the bench. Eh?
Look, Lucic is just happy Chucky's gone so he can just take it easy every night and it's not a riot and he can just chill and suck in peace.
Just coast right into retirement. Eh?
Exactly.
Like, honestly, though, like, we need to see more from this guy.
No, he's been.
We just need to see something.
Anything. Fight somebody.
How many goals did he score last season? He was on a rampage there for a bit.
Well, yeah, but it was all came early in the season, didn't it?
Yeah, but it was like I'll take early over never.
Yeah. Good point. He had 10 goals last year.
10.
Yeah.
He's got fucking 1 point. Or he's got 3 points.
He's got five assists. Yeah.
Five assists. 0 goals. Like I said, it's one thing, but
not that plus minus is the be all end all, but like the Flames were one of the best teams in the league last year. He's a -9 last year. How do you even do that?
Yeah, that is odd. Well, who was he playing with last year?
I don't know. Everyone. I guess he was, what was the fourth line last year? Lewis, Lucic, Richie, same deal. Same deal as this year.
Yeah, but Richie was hurt. Remember, it was Rizicka for a long time.
Was he playing with Monahan?
Maybe that's when he was playing his best hockey.
Yeah. Dragon Rizicka playing with Rizicka.
But regardless, if you're going through stretches like we just were talking about on the last episode, where you can't score goals, you could only score one against Montreal. You had a hard time scoring three against Arizona. And you have guys in the lineup like Lucic, can't score, like Rooney, where you're just like, why is this guy even on the team? And you got Brett Ritchie, who finds a way to whiff him in there. Meanwhile, you have a guy like Matt Phillips leading the AHL in scoring, leading the AHL in goals. And I haven't watched any games, but I'm seeing some of these highlights. The dude is feeling it. A little nifty backhand breakaway, chip over the shoulder. Like, that is a sign of a very confident hockey player. If ever you were going to try him out, get him while he's playing fucking hot.
Totally. That's what I was saying last time. Is like, it doesn't have to be like, he's not a guy who you're like, he's not one of these like draft picks who you're just like trying to be careful with his development curve. This is a guy you drafted in the sixth round in 2016. Who's 24, and it's just like, hey, he's hot right now. It's like, you see teams do this all the time. Like, two factors. It rewards a guy who's done really well and put the work in. And it also, like, if you have a guy, like you said, who's feeling it and is hot and is on a roll and you need scoring help, it's just a no-brainer. I don't know how this has turned into such a, like, ideological battleground where Brad and Daryl are just like, we're not doing it. Like, they're just like drawing a line in the sand for like no apparent reason. The guy's playing well. You need goal scoring. Bring him up for a few games and see if he can help you score some goals. What's the downside?
Exactly. I mean, the measurement for me would be, is can he help your team win? And if you're replacing him for Lucic for a game or two, like, are they afraid they're going to get too small all of a sudden?
I don't know what they're afraid of. Like, it makes zero sense.
Like, we got enough size, don't we? We got enough size and age, even without Lucic in the lineup.
What is that line bringing you, even if they do have size? Like, there's no logical argument you can give me that says those having a fourth line of Rooney, Lucic, and whoever is ideal, no matter how big they are. They've been brutal.
I mean, my only guess would be they want Lucic here just in case something happens. But then, like, take him out of the lineup. If teams start taking runs and liberties at whoever, I don't know.
Dude, Lucic doesn't even do anything if they do, it seems.
So then maybe now we have to bring him back in and at least he has a fucking role. Because right now he's just fucking coasting and floating and turning the puck over for the majority of his night of hockey. And meanwhile, you got a fucking guy who looks unreal.
He looks like somebody who's too good for the AHL.
Exactly.
That's he's the first player to 30 points.
Exactly. And I mean, I get it. Sure, it's a different league. There is never a real direct correlation translation from one league to the next. But that's typically a sign. You just nailed it. That is like the sign. Is he ready to play some NHL games? Well, he looks like he's too good for this league. That's usually the sign of when the player becomes ready.
And like I've said a million times, maybe he isn't good enough. Maybe he's Austin Zarnik, right? Everyone's like, oh, he's the next Marty St. Louis, blah, blah, blah. I don't think so. I think he could be a good player in the NHL, but maybe he's Austin Zarnik. But when you're struggling and you need some scoring help, I just don't get why you don't try it. Because, okay, what is the alternative scenario? This season plays out. He's going to be a Group 6 free agent at the end of the year. He can go wherever he wants. Why would he stick with you when you've never given him a chance? Right? So,
dude, come on. Like, it's ridiculous. Especially right now. I mean, the point you're making is you have nothing to lose.
It makes no sense.
The only potential thing you have to worry about losing is Lucic might retire because he goes pouty pants McGee. So you're at a win-win.
Yeah,
you're
at a win-win. Exactly. It just, I don't get it. Like, and I've said, I think maybe some people expect him to come up and be great. That's not my expectation. I think he's just a guy who's playing really well and could help you, and you're not dressing the best lineup you could if you're playing guys like Lucic and Rooney over Phillips. Hey folks, just a quick word from some sponsors. You can use our code in the dome pod over at SeatGeek if you are looking to score a deal on some tickets. That code is in the dome pod. If you're going to the Flames game or just need tickets for something and you find a sweet deal over at SeatGeek, you can save an extra $20 off your first order with that promo code in the dome pod. Hockey fans, you can light the lamp this winter with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. New customers can bet just $5 pregame moneyline on any NHL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the promo code THPN. Bet $5 on any NHL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. Only a DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See the show notes for details. Like, and the other thing is too, and I've made this point, I've said this so many times, I get sick of saying it, but it's like, oh yeah, he's too young, too small to play in the fourth line. It's like, you look at that Mangiapane, Ryan Hathaway line that was freaking good. And then like compare every fourth line since that has been dog shit, right? Like they did, like, you cannot make an argument that the current fourth line couldn't be improved upon with a call-up.
Phillips has been trending on social for good reason, which I think is reverberating back to the club.
Well, and you know what my worry is?
Coaches getting asked about it.
The more it gets to them, the more stubborn they're going to be in their stance. Like, that's one thing about Daryl is he's stubborn as shit. And not that it's his call either. I think that's kind of why Daryl has also been hostile towards some of the questioning about it, is that even though I wouldn't say it's inappropriate to ask the coach about like roster moves, but it kind of is in a sense where it's like, that's not his call at the end of the day.
Yeah. So, I think he mentioned that last season, didn't he?
Yeah.
I just manage the guys that are here. That's a Brad question.
Exactly. So if you're going to ask him a question that is of that nature, he's going to be hostile immediately, regardless of who you're talking about.
I pulled Twitter asking if this was 4 days ago, if Phillips is going to get a meaningful game this season. What do you think? Not guessing the answer, but what do you think? What would be
at this rate? I'd be very surprised.
59% of people say no. Yeah. 41 think yes. And remember, this has to be a meaningful game. This can't be if we miss the playoffs. We're going to see Phillips for the last five games of the season.
Unless there's like a significant injury, I would be surprised.
It looks like Lucic is playing with a significant injury. Does that count? Doesn't count. What was so Daryl and Brad both responded to asking them what you have their responses there?
Well, I have like, I'm not sure if Brad, because this was just a quote I saw somebody had posted, and I don't know if they'd asked him about Phillips specifically, but I don't know. Brad was on 960 going off, you know, he never says anything normal, right? Or insightful. It's just like, what are you talking about?
Milk and cookies, kitchen cupboards.
Exactly. It's like
going shopping, going to the grocery store.
Don't make any sense. But anyways, he was on the radio talking about like his like, I guess, philosophy or something on just calling guys up from the AHL. And it was just like,
send really, that to me so I have for some good bedtime reading when I need to fucking fall asleep.
Yeah, you'll just like read about two sentences and you'll just be like asleep. So here's what Brad said about calling up AHL players. And I don't even know what this means. He says, I found that players who have a chance to succeed at this level are players that are dominant. And when I say dominant, that doesn't necessarily mean statistically dominant. What?
Okay.
But they're very good in whatever role that is that you envision them playing at the NHL level.
So as long as Brad envisions him playing, then that's what we'll see him. That's what you're saying.
As long as he manifests Phillip in a role, then he'll be great.
Didn't you post a Rooney stat or something
yeah.
like that by comparison?
Yeah, Mike Gould said, he was like, I pulled up Rooney's AHL stats at a year older than Phillips, and he had one goal in like 40 games.
I guess he was dominating in other aspects of the game then.
So, right? Yeah, exactly. He was dominant, just not statistically, right?
Okay. Yeah, just in ways that don't help a
like
team.
That kind of bullshit just infuriates you, right? Oh, yeah, he's dominant in other ways. Like what? What? In what area of the game is Matt Phillips not dominating?
When your number one need across, like you need scoring. That's your.
You need a
one.
Right-hand shot guy who can score goals.
Yeah, but he's dominant off the breaking out off the wing there, though. He's dominant in other ways.
It's so stupid. So then this was then followed up by
that fourth line. By the way, sucks in their own end. For the record.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. Right? You can't make any argument for. Yes, they should still be ahead of other guys. Like there's that's a moot point. You can't say, yeah, well, Lucic isn't scoring, but he's reliable defensively. No, he isn't. He stinks. Same with Rooney. Rooney against the Arizona Coyotes had a 0% expected goals for percentage last night. How do you even do that? Like how?
Did you hit the ice once?
That's incredible.
That's like, yeah, what'd you say? I'm not even mad.
I'm not even mad. I'm impressed that he is.
What's that, Baxter? That you ate the whole wheel of cheese? Wow, that's incredible. In fact, I'm not even mad.
Exactly. So there's no excuse for it at this rate. And then so Salim asked Daryl about it. And again, like I said, like I think Daryl's maybe been taking a bit too much, because you got to realize with Daryl in the media is he's going to be hostile as it is. Like, I don't know if you've noticed. He doesn't really like answering questions.
That's why he's so entertaining. Yes,
exactly. That's why it's awesome. He doesn't like asking questions that are outside of his purview. Like even on a way smaller level, it's like, oh, is Chris Tanev in the lineup? And he gives some smart ass mark. Oh, who it's like, is everybody's playing tonight, including I might suit up, right? So I would take any roster questions that are asked with a massive grain of salt. Like, I know everybody's freaking out saying, like, oh, he's should be fired for how dare he say that about how dare he besmirch Matt Phillip like that. It's like, it's just Daryl being Daryl, really. So
at the end of the day. Because like you're saying, he takes a lot of shit. Like people are like, fire Daryl, he'll never play Matt. Is it Daryl's decision or not?
No.
Like it's at the end of the day, Brad can be like, hey, by the way, I'm sending Lucic down and Phillips is coming up. He's going to be on your roster.
Brad then can call up whoever he wants at any time.
Daryl manages the bench. Yeah. He could choose not to play Phillips all night long. I'm sure Brad and Daryl chat about it. So he probably has some, you know.
My guess would be, yes, they are collaborating in this, and Brad probably knows Daryl isn't too enthused about the idea. But at the end of the day, it is Brad's call to bring him up.
So Daryl says, keep your curiosity. You're curious about it 3 seasons ago, keep it.
Yeah. So Salim, saying yeah, Salim asks, some fans are curious about Matt Phillips. He's been good. And Daryl says, well, you were curious about it 3 years ago. Keep your curiosity. So there's your smart ass response. Right. And again, this is, I think this is even more so than Daryl not liking to comment on roster moves. This is just, I think this is a tactic he uses when he doesn't like a question or doesn't want to answer a question. He'll just attack the question more so than anything. So yeah, people don't ask a follow-up. It's like the same thing with Huberto had to take a shit. It's like, and that's the end of it, right? So he'll be willing to take heat to get away from a subject he doesn't want people talking about. So I think it's just a tactic. But then he followed up with saying that he's been watching the farm team live a lot, and that he's, the team's doing well, and there's a big difference between the AHL and the NHL.
Which is true, but...
Which is true, but when a guy's dominating the AHL, and, like, and could Lucic score 30 points in the AHL?
And you have 2 to 3 fourth-line plugs that are having a negative impact on your team on a nightly basis.
Yeah.
No-brainer.
It's beyond a no-brainer. It's like, remember when, like, this is beyond, like, even back when Bill Peters, when they wouldn't call, remember they sent Dubé down and Peters was shitting all over Dubé, and it was like, well, that's totally unnecessary. He's better than half the guys here. He came up and he was good. Same type of thing. And that's what I don't get.
Remember, like, when they wouldn't play Zarnik?
Yeah, they wouldn't play Zarnik. They wouldn't, the Shillington example I use all the time, they freaking shot him to the moon for 2 years for some
apparently they reason. Shot him, I don't know where he is now. Shot himself to fucking Mars? Like, what is going
Siberia?
On here?
Siberia? Is he in like one of those?
Are we going to see him on an Unsolved Mystery episode coming up?
Legs or something?
Like, what happened to this guy?
You can't ask. And if you ask, you're a piece of shit also.
I'm asking, baby.
Yeah, no, you can't. It's forbidden.
I got to know. I got
like,
to know.
It's like, no, you can't give us any idea of what's going on. It's been like 6 months.
You can't categorize it in some vague.
You can't say,
category?
No, he's not coming back at all, or he's going to be back in 2 months.
It's kind of weird. I thought you said something like a family issue you heard.
Well, I didn't hear that, but all Brad said at the beginning of the season was it is not substance related. So what else could it be? So that was just my speculation.
Way to fucking narrow it down for us, Brad.
Yeah.
What do you want on your pizza? I don't want green peppers. No, go back and make it. Always gonna be a pizza reference with Brad.
Oh yeah, Hawaiian. Anyways, it's pissing me off, the whole Phillips thing, as it should. It's really annoying, especially when you look at it in context with the Flames. Not, and it, like, just look at Rozicka, right? Like, I think Rozicka is a good comparable. How much better has Rozicka been than the other bottom players on the roster?
Dude, Rozicka has saved our first quarter.
Like, he had, what is he, point per game?
14. Hey, he's our best player right now.
He's been our best forward, maybe outside of Toffoli, like, overall. And he has been our best forward. So
and we were hammering for him to be back in the lineup early.
Exactly. And they wouldn't play him out of, like, oh, you know, veteran this, veteran that.
Reckoning this, reckoning that.
Yeah. And it's such a weird double standard where it's like, and I get what Daryl's trying to do. Like, this organization has been so fucking Mickey Mouse for so long, right? And it's been, the standard has been so shitty. It's like, I understand he's trying to hammer home that it's like, you really need to earn your ice time. But when it's like the standard's so high for Rozicka, right? Like, I think he got scratched for a game there because it was like he wasn't playing very well. And then he, like, scored the next game, and the question was like, what did you think of Rozicka? It's like, well, he's doing what he's supposed to do. That's what we expect of him, right? It's like, well, how come that same standard isn't applied to across the board to the vets? That's all you can ask.
You were
right?
expecting him to be a point per game player.
Yeah.
Those were your expectations. Were. That's why he couldn't play in the past.
So if you, because everyone's, I think the people who are maybe like, well, what's Phillips really going to do? It's like the difference between Rozicka and Lucic. Let's just use Lucic as our placeholder because he's been so bad. The difference between Lucic and Rozicka has been markedly incredible.
Dude, like, they're different planets.
If you pull Rzeczka from this lineup, you probably have a few less points this season. Absolutely no doubt. You probably have like at least two or three or four less points.
I would say five or six.
Easily.
He won that one game single-handedly.
The Florida game, he was like in Florida?
Yeah, exactly.
He was the only guy playing. Anyways.
Only guy scoring.
You just think about, okay, apply that to somebody like Matt Phillips. If he's even that much better than a guy like Lucic, how is that not something you want?
Well, how would you not be? I don't understand how you couldn't be better than Lucic.
I know, right? Anybody could be better than him.
He's playing like dog shit. All right, Florida, Toffoli scores an absolute beauty pass. Like that pass from Huey on the Toffoli scores that slapshot goal. I know if Huey comes down, he kind of messes up on the breakaway chance, but then he gets that was a sweet setup.
That was a sweet goal. Toffoli rips it. The thing with Huey, though, that's weird that I've been noticing is like he really doesn't skate with the puck through the neutral zone, which is really weird because like on that play, like you see these bursts of it where it's like, holy, like he is so fast and can control the puck so well. Like on that play, he gets that in almost near the red line and just bursts down and creates a breakaway for himself. And it's just like, he's so hesitant to carry the puck up the ice a lot. Like
and that thing you posted where he does a spin move. That was funny, man.
Dude, every time he gets the puck, he's spinning himself into circles.
If you're on Instagram and you watch Mikey's stories, you would have seen this. It's that fucking.
It's the kid in the go-kart who can't stop spinning around.
The shooting stars. Did you make it on the shooting stars song?
Like literally every.
It's like 10 minutes long.
Every time he gets the puck, he's just like twirling around for four hours.
It's funny because I didn't even notice that. And then after watching that, now I notice it. Every time he gets the puck, he does a twirl.
It's unreal. It's like, man, oh man, because I've noticed it a few times, and if you watch some of his old highlights, like he spins around a lot, but it's pretty funny that every time he gets this puck, he's just spinning around.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's looked better in the last four games.
Yeah, he's been.
But I still want to see him drive play in terms of being a danger, a threat to score.
Yeah, I want to see him control play more.
Yeah. Manji scores on the 2-0 from Dubé. Obviously, look, Manji's is like, he's on fire right now. Dubé's on fire. Let's hope these guys are hitting something that they can plateau on with. Like, and just keep, they don't have to score fucking two goals a game, but like, they can't have a similar quarter. Their second quarter can't be like their first one, man.
You can't go like Dubé 10, 15 games without a goal.
No. No. So, I mean, the game was sick. Thoughts on Blasty?
Looks sweet. Look, every time I see it in person, it looks great.
I thought Blasty looked epic, and then I saw Pedestal. And the I was new like, ones, Blasty yeah. looks like shit compared to Pedestal.
The thing with the Pedestals, I can't believe how good they look on the ice, because I saw them in the team store the other day when I was at the game, and I was like, yeah, they always look tacky. And then, like, just pictures and stuff. It's like, yeah, they're just, ugh. But then on the ice, they look great. And dude, here's
the black looks awesome.
Here's why they're better than Blasty is because Blasty still doesn't have enough red. It still looks too much like a Canucks jersey.
Yeah. They should just change the Canucks orange and orange and gold or whatever.
Yeah.
Change those two colors to Flames colors.
Like, even if
that was my only beef with Blasty when they brought it back, it's like, why didn't you update it?
I know. Like
make the horse head look mean or like mythical or something. Like it's still cartoony.
It's cartoony. All the elements of the original one that I didn't like are still on it, is the problem.
Yeah.
And the red is gone. Oh. Yeah.
And then this fucking
One looks great. It looks like a Flames jersey because there's red on the shoulders. And I think the thing that is the best is that the white flamey C looks amazing on black.
It does. White and black. Looks sexy as hell.
Looks really good. Looks way better than I thought it would.
Yeah, I'm digging this third. I'm digging black. I wouldn't want permanent black, but as a third jersey, because nothing is going to trump the classic white and red that we have now. But this is a super sick. Are they wearing Blasties some more? They're going to wear these for five games straight.
I think they're wearing black all month, which, okay, it's kind of a screw up on the marketing department because, okay, I don't think, let's say you get your pedestal jersey for Christmas.
Should have been November.
You won't be able to wear it when they're wearing it, which I think is kind of part of the fun of jerseys is like third jerseys. You want to wear it at the games they're wearing it.
True.
So kind of a, I think that's kind of a stupid move.
Flames marketing, not nailing one out of the park.
So like January, February, March, April, when people who got their jersey for Christmas have it, you won't even see them wear it. It's a big mistake.
Good point. Did Vladar play this game?
No, Markstrom played the Florida game. Oh no, Vladar played. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so Markstrom starts in Montreal. How was Vladar against Florida? He was good, right? Vladar's been just great. Period.
He was great. He was awesome against Florida. Made some big saves.
How was Markstrom against Montreal? Poor Marky, eh? I just suck at hockey right now.
That is a tough case of Mike Smithitis he's got. It is persistent.
Dude, he can't shake it. Are these sitting in the same stall?
Dude,
somebody's got to check and see if he's sitting in the same stall Mike Smith used to sit in, because there's something weird happening here. He's turning into Mike Smith.
Like, what on earth was he thinking? Like, that was full Mike Smith. That was I think that was more ridiculous than anything I've seen Mike Smith
do. Not only was Jacob Markstrom not in his net for the first goal, he was not even in the defensive zone. He was outside the blue line, was he not? He wasn't even in the fucking zone.
Off the way out. It was insane.
Where are you going, bud?
13 seconds into the game.
Oh, there goes Markstrom. Where's he going, by the way?
Wild.
Who comes out that far? That's insane.
He outsmithed Mike Smith.
Dude, that was incredible. I'm not even mad. It's another one of those things. How did you even do that? How did you end up that far out? I'm not even mad. I'm amazed.
Like, you watch the frame by frame, and it's like the moment in which he decides he's going for it is like way too late. It's like
that whole play. I think he summed it up perfectly, eh?
That poor guy
after the game.
Well,
someone asked him about it. He says, "I just suck at hockey. Don't even ask."
The thing is, like, it's a shitty play by the D. Like, Sean Monahan has a freaking parting of the Red Sea opening to the net on that play.
And then it's because it's Sean Monahan. They just figured that, you know, he'd somehow fuck it up some way.
But I mean, Rasmus Anderson and Noah Hannifin are caught doing who knows what there. So I understand Markstrom, and you know, I don't know what he was thinking. I really don't.
All right, so Sean Monahan makes his return. You get back to back, you know,
emotional four players. Games.
I was more emotional about Sean Monahan than I was.
Oh yeah, totally.
I think everybody was.
Everybody, because I think we realized we should have cap dumped Lucic instead of Monahan.
What's Brad supposed to do?
Well, yeah, I think
I like how we're starting to hear the truth. Really,
yeah. But what happened
about,
in the offseason?
About Tkachuk and Johnny, and really Brad fucked it up with both them. They both wanted long term contracts, and at the time they wanted it, they weren't offered it. And when the time Brad was ready to offer it, they didn't want it. Like,
what's he supposed to do, man? His hands are tied.
Monahan made everybody fucking tear up, eh? Like, that was he almost teared up
himself.
Yeah, I teared up.
Dude, he's such a the thing that, again, like, emotions for different reasons, but it was like just seeing this team get dismantled in the course of like 2 months was rough. Yeah. Now these guys are already back. It's just like, holy shit. It's just not ready for it.
No. What did Daryl had some fucking nice things to say about Sean? Hey?
Dude, Daryl is like these guys' dad. You know, he had nice things to say about Tkachuk too. I know some of the little jabs he's taken at Tkachuk since the beginning of the year have gone viral, but he had some really nice things. And he was talking about Monahan for sure, saying like, if he's here on a long term contract, that's a guy you make captain. Like, Daryl loves these guys, man. He loved those guys.
Fuck. All right. Well, this game was a stinker. I missed most of it. I was on a flight. couldn't score though. It looked like, I watched all the highlights and stuff, it looked like they had a lot of chances. Yeah,
that was
how many breakaways? At least two, right?
That was a Glenn Gallatin special. Out chance, out shoot.
Allen did make some really good saves too, but
yeah, I mean, but
I'm sick of hearing about it.
Well, again, and this has been my favorite thing Darryl has done, because this used to be an excuse by Gallatin and Ward when you would outshoot and outchance teams and not win, right? It would be used as an excuse, like, oh, process. Darryl has made a very correct, since day one, hammering this home. Like, this was one of his first things he started talking about, was like, you have to finish your chances.
Yeah.
And that's what he said. He's like, you got to finish the deal. Like, you have to score. Like, that's part of it. It's not just shooting percentages being unlucky. Part of winning hockey games is bearing down and scoring.
Yeah. Warden Gallatin, they'd be like, ran into a hot goalie, trust the process, next. Don't worry about it.
Correct.
Darryl's like, didn't finish. They had a chance. Didn't bury on him.
Exactly.
Missed the wide open net.
And again, if you watched like a lot of those shots, like, right into Allen's pads. And again, like, you can't sit there. Everybody's like, oh, we got goalied. It's like, you don't get goalied by Jake Allen. I'm sorry. If you're getting goalied by Jake Allen, it's on you.
Jake Allen.
Like, I forgot he even was in the league anymore.
You were pissed about that. I saw you storing that.
So if you can't score more than once on Jake Allen, I think it's your problem. Not that Jake Allen is like so good. Oh, he's been terrible all year until this game. Weird.
What were your overall thoughts on this game? Did the Flames not take the cake on the game stats and whatnot?
Oh, yeah. Like, I think the shots were like 44 to 19 or something ridiculous. Shot attempts were ridiculous. They had the puck all night, couldn't score. And then Montreal, especially on the power play, which is dog shit again. And then Montreal gets a power play and Cole Caulfield scores a sweet goal. So this game, again, Markstrom had the big gaff at the beginning, but it was mostly the Flames couldn't score.
And how did he score his power play goal, Michael?
Oh, cross ice one timer.
What's that?
No. I hadn't seen one until last night.
Yeah, it was.
I guess, but.
They just got beat by it in enough games now that they finally decided to try it. Eh?
So it was bad, but Monahan had two assists.
Or do you think, who's the PP coach for Montreal? Maybe Kirk, him and
maybe Kirk,
some ties or something. And then he's like, dude, your power play stinks, Kirk. I'll give you some pointers. Here's what you got to do. Here's what all the good teams do. First off, set up in your one-time position.
What's that?
You know what that is, Kirk? Let me show you. Secondly, try passing the ice across, or try passing
across
the puck across the ice. Just instead of around the horn.
I was just having Rasmus Anderson float softies and hoping for a tip.
Fuck.
Anyways,
I like Daryl's summation of that after the Arizona game, hey?
Oh, yeah. Spot on.
I don't know what the question was, but it's obviously alluding to, wow.
The question was, what was the difference? Why did your power play score twice tonight? Because it's been struggling lately.
And what did he say?
He said, couple plays down low instead of everything from up top.
What the fuck? If he knows, because he knows, why have they been trying to do everything up top for the whole season until last night? Has he just been waiting for fucking Kirk to figure it out?
You can feed Hobie.
Like, why don't get it?
Neither.
Dude. He basically nails down our frustrations to a T in what, six words?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's Daryl Sutter for you. But I just don't understand why this wasn't addressed 10 million years ago.
Like, seriously, that was the first cross ice one timer we've seen all year.
For sure, the first. Well, they did score when they attempted to go cross crease.
Yeah.
You got lucky because it's so dangerous because the puck's going right across the crease. If it hits something and doesn't make it to the other player, it might go in.
So this Montreal game was frustrating for many reasons, including the power play, but also it was like, oh, Monahan has more points than Huberdeau and Kadri. It was just like, and they can't score. It was just like multitude of frustrations culminating in one. Because I think most people, including ourselves, have been through like our Serenity Now moment this month. Like during the losing streak, we're like, Serenity Now, It's all good.
Dude, I was fine during the seven game losing streak.
And then like some of these games just like set you off into the insanity later part of that. And this was one of them where it was just like, holy shit. Monahan's got more points than our guys. We shipped him out to get, and we just can't score. Like, this is brutal. So
Besser's making headlines, about to be healthy scratched. Still more points than Huberto.
No, it's like he's been terrible this year. He only has 14 points in 19 games. I'm like, that's more than Huberto had at the time. It's ridiculous. So, and that's the other thing about why some of these games, like it's kind of live or die with each game, is because like we talked at the top, we don't really know what we have yet. And every game, like some of these games have been wildly different. You score six against Florida, then you can't score, do anything against Montreal. So it has been a lot of live, like, it's been hard to stay emotionally stable over stretches of games when every game seems to be different and you're just like living and dying on every game.
What was that thing you posted about comparing Monty, Chucky, and Goudreau? Like the former boyfriends or whatever?
So I saw this analogy on Calgary Puck, but I thought it wasn't totally correct, so I changed it around a bit. So what I said was, Johnny Gaudreau is like your first love who like broke your heart, right? And then Kachuk is like the one who's was always out of your league and you never really had a chance with in reality if you look back on it.
Yeah,
but Monahan's the one who you neglected and, you know, kind of ignored, but was the one, the right one for you all along.
That's fucking classic.
It's so true.
That was so classic. And then what's Yuso?
Oh, man. Yuso.
It's the one's name you can't remember.
Exactly.
Shit, what was her name?
You have it in your phone, just like...
Yeah, it's like the spelled Anchorman. Wrong. Anchorman love scene or whatever. I think I was in love once. Really? What was her name? I can't remember. That's not a good start, but continue. Anyways, post-game, or maybe it was the day after, but Darryl's standing up for Markstrom. You got to love it. See, this is why he's such a beast. He knows when to rip players and he knows when not to. Markstrom's already ripping himself to shreds, saying, I suck at hockey right now. Darryl's up there the next day saying, look, follow the numbers. He's been getting better. This is the best he's been. And I mean, hey, it doesn't help when you're goaltender, he makes a gaffe, but you can't.
You can't help him out. You can't help. You can't score twice.
You can't score enough to mask your mistakes. You can't score twice. It's not even like three times. You can't even score twice to push it in overtime, give yourself a fucking shot. I don't know. I thought that was pretty sweet.
Yeah. No, Darryl, dude, this is why he's the master, right? He knows what he's doing. But, like, he's been talking about how he trusts he even said our goaltenders are our best position on this team by far.
Yes, another good point.
And he knows, right? Like, I think people are taking this, oh, we can get rid of Markstrom. Vladar's the number one. It's like, he knows for this team to be successful in the long run, Jacob Markstrom needs to be a big part of this team's success. So he's playing the long-term game with Markstrom right now. He knows what he's doing. I'm honestly not too worried about the goaltending situation.
Do you think, because here's the other thing. I agree with that. And I also, if you're Jacob Markstrom and you're feeling the way you do about yourself right now, that he is, and you hear your coach say goaltending's our best position on this team, does that not fucking give you some peace of mind? Like, imagine if Darryl didn't say that. Where is Markstrom mentally?
Well, like, and here's, yeah.
Like, does that just is like the glue that holds comments like that from your head coach, comments like that from guys like Darryl are going to be part of Jacob Markstrom getting back into form sooner than later.
Totally, because I understand why Markstrom, what he's trying to do, like, that's kind of like a defense mechanism where it's like, yeah, I know I suck, you know, like, he doesn't want to come out and bullshit people. The thing is, too, like, I was posting after the game, I was like, this is why this team needs a captain. Because it's like, I hope somebody is, and I guess it's Darryl or whoever it is, and I guess we don't really know because we're not privy to what's going on in the room, but I hope somebody is, like, helping Markstrom reel himself back in. I guess it's probably Darryl.
Yeah, it's probably Darryl.
That's why you probably, that's why it'd be nice to have a captain or somebody who knows what they're doing leadership wise, because you can't have your number one netminder be in that headspace feeling like that, saying like those things to the media.
The panel, I think it was Rudy, they were alluding to this, that was Markstrom self-managing the situation, because he's been playing like dog shit for a while. It's not like it just came out of nowhere and we're all like, what's going on? So if Darryl had been continuing to play him and play him and play, and just kind of like we were saying, you know, you're going to figure this out, dude. You're going to, we're force feeding you these starts until you figure it out. And obviously that was not working, to the point where the fan base is now like, hey, Darryl, you got to stop playing this guy. Like, give him a week off. What's the, like, whatever, you got a backup. No big deal. But since Markstrom makes those comments, now Vladar gets the two back-to-back starts against Washington, Arizona, and he looks unreal. I don't know. Like, is he the 1A currently? Or does Darryl just go right back to fuck with everybody, right back with Markstrom next game?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I feel like you probably, Vladar's earned that another start, but
I would roll with him, wouldn't you?
I would too.
He's like, so much better. Because right now
you need points is the other part of this, which Darryl knows. Like, as much as he's playing the long game with Markstrom, you need wins right now. And Vladar's been the better of the two. So I would start him on, was he in the starter's net today? I'm not sure. I think he might have been, but I would start him tomorrow for sure.
So the Washington game, Vladar was great. You come out to who's the goalie again?
Kemper.
Got hurt. Kemper. He dominated us last week or whatever.
Daryl described it as that performance as a bear catching fish.
Right. Because you made him look human because you're fucking sniping top corner now. Coleman snipes top corner. Monge snipes top corner. These are two goals on Kemper before he got injured.
Yeah.
Rizic's breakaway goal, I think that was on the new goalie though, right?
Yeah, that was on whatever his name is, Lindgren.
Yeah, because he didn't look.
Just want to make a quick comment, like the Rizic Backlund connection, like, man, they've been good. They're really good in this game. Like, awesome. They set up that first Coleman goal. They set up the Mangiapane goal. Man, they were really good.
Well, it's not like the pass was great from Backlund to set up Rizic on the breakaway, but wow, what a
great finish at a moment of the game. To catch that
while dragging your foot. Maybe it was offside, but they didn't challenge it. But it's pretty damn close. And then the finish, you snipe. And then Mangiapane comes down, 2-on-1, snipes. That was a juicy win because you needed it was getting pretty tense there. You need something to feel good about it. You got it. You were able to build off it against Arizona.
Yeah. The last two games you really needed. Like, really bad, based on what happened against Montreal. So they came through. I thought they played a really good game against Washington. Last night was like an absolute snooze fest. Last night reminded me of one of those games in like the 2000s, like 2009. Remember when they played Minnesota like eight times a year? And it'd be like Minnesota on a Wednesday night. It was the boringest shit you've ever seen. That's what last night was like.
Yeah, it was. And what, the first period, they didn't have a shot for the first 10 minutes or something like that?
Dude, in the third period, the Flames had like one shot for like most of the period until like the later stages of the period when Nas came alive, which again, kind of under talked about. He has been very quiet the last, like, I think in that Washington game, that was like his first point in like eight games or something.
Yeah, he's been struggling.
So
he had three points against the Yotes.
Yeah, three last night, a single assist against Washington. So 4-2 games. Man, they need him. They need that Nas last night. You see him on the celebration going nuts. Oh, we need that guy way more often.
So, I mean, the last four games, you get three wins. There's some things for these guys to build on, which is goal scoring. Like, some of these guys, because you're getting these now, you're getting key goals from guys that have been, where are they? So hopefully that's a sign to come. Hopefully that's a sign of, like, some of these guys are going to be able to turn their seasons around and get on to a more average pace of where they belong in terms of how many goals we can expect.
Yeah, I think Monge and Dubé specifically I think Kadri as well, because Kadri had that really hot start then dipped for a while. So all three of those guys getting back on track.
And then fucking...
I think we're still kind of waiting.
Leonard with that save at the end.
Yeah. Oh, dude, he made a couple of saves like that. I don't know why that's happening. The defensive zone coverage was pretty bad sometimes against a terrible team in the Coyotes. I think they've been pretty good at limiting some chances, but there have been some massive breakdowns still.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been interesting. The pedestal for both games was so sexy.
Oh, dude, it's a sweet jersey.
That power play goal, so timely. So you mentioned it earlier. There's been a few trade talks. Besser's been linked to the Flames, apparently.
Rad's been, quote, poking around.
Oh, geez. Never heard that before, eh? Although I guess now fans...
Rad's reliving bingo.
Take a little more seriously now, though, after the offseason he had. But... And I heard Brad say this earlier too, like probably 2 weeks ago. You know, part of the challenge where they're on the standings right now is that there's some individual performances are way below what they're expected of. So you need that extra 20 goals in a guy like Brock Besser, who is a 20 goal scorer. But I don't know, you're kind of saying this earlier. Do you actually? Right? Like, should we be having trouble scoring goals?
Yeah.
Like, we don't actually not have the goal-scoring ability on the team. It's just the individuals aren't scoring how many points and goals they are used to scoring. So, for whatever reason that is, maybe it's an adjustment period. And I think that's a big part of it. Daryl did say 20 games. It's been, what, 24
games now? 25.
Played 25 games?
Yeah.
Let's hope this adjustment's over. I mean, but we still look like we were having trouble scoring last night until we got the power play late.
They're still not generating a high enough volume of chances, like high danger chances. Lots of shot volume, not a ton of quality. So, listen, I think the Besser thing's kind of weird because it sounds like it could be like a Pacioretty to like when Carolina got Pacioretty for like nothing, or when Seattle got Bjorkstrand for nothing because it's like the Canucks just want to dump him. So it seems like if the acquisition cost was that low, it seems like, okay, maybe that's a guy you could buy low on. So in that sense, yeah, maybe that could work. But the thing is, money wise, it doesn't work at all for the Flames unless you're getting rid of Lucic.
Is that even a possibility?
I don't know.
I'm just curious, in what scenario right now, are you talking about trade him?
Yeah.
Because he's not like he's just going to up and retire in the middle of the season, is he? It's never happened, is it?
I don't think so.
So, but if you trade him, who is taking Lucic and why?
Well, like, that's the thing. Like, for a Besser deal to work, could you trade him to Vancouver? He's from Vancouver. Would he be into that? He's still got that stupid no movement clause that the Flames are honoring.
So, but why would Vancouver want Lucic?
Well, I don't think they would. I think apparently, like, from what the reports have been, is Vancouver is going to be, if they were to trade him, and again, who knows with Vancouver? Because, like you said, it looks like maybe they're going to like do what they always do, and it's like, okay, get back into it in the second half and then miss the playoffs anyways. But I think Friedman and some people have said like that the return's not going to be good. And they're willing for it to not even to be good. It seems to be a pretty untenable scenario there right now. Like, they almost scratched him on the Hockey Fights Cancer night, which was apparently like a big deal because like his dad just passed away from cancer. So it was like kind of a dick move, and like nobody's happy with that situation. So it sounds like they'd be willing to settle for a pretty minimal return. So could you say, hey, we'll give you Lucic? Fuck, Flames may as well trade Matt Phillips.
You're not gonna use them. It's too bad Benning wasn't the fucking GM still.
You know what? It's like, these new Vancouver people seem to be just as incompetent. They just signed Besser to this extension and JT Miller to this massive extension, and now they're like, oh, I guess we're gonna trade everybody. So I don't know. It seems like on the hockey side of things, Besser would you know, right shot winger who can score some goals. He hasn't been very good is the thing. He's been injured like crazy and he makes a lot of money. So there's reasons the Flames would probably be interested, but there's probably more reasons that it probably wouldn't work. Unless you could get them to take Lucic going back, it's you don't have the space for it. And it's not even about the space this year, like next year when all the big extensions kick in. The Flames are really crunched. So if they were to acquire Besser, you're probably saying goodbye to somebody else next year as well. I don't know. Listen, if they get him, I'll be stoked, but I don't know if it's something that would really work.
How big is this Minnesota game tomorrow night? Unfortunately, you didn't catch them when they were kind of stinky to start the season. They're winners of six of their last seven. So they're turning it around. They're gonna give you a challenge. Looks like they've been scoring goals. So
they can fly, man.
You're probably gonna need to be able to figure out a way to score at least three or four goals against these guys.
Yeah, you gotta get on a bit of a roll here because like the good thing is that the West sucks and Edmonton can't seem to get out of their own way. Neither can Nashville. Colorado's getting murdered with injuries. So it's not like we're way out of it, but currently today we're out of a playoff spot. Played one less game than Edmonton and have one less point. So I think Edmonton and LA are the teams you're trying to catch. So LA, you're back 3 points with two games in hand. So you're in a nice little spot if you can string together a nice little stretch here. You can kind of get right back into it. Not that you're not in it right now, but you can go from being on the outside to the inside in like a pretty short period of time if you can string some wins together. So it's not like make or break time, but this would be an opportune time to make up some ground that you lost by screwing up a lot in the beginning of the season.
Yeah, and you have some weaker opponents coming up. I mean,
you play Columbus,
Montreal coming up, Vancouver, St. Louis, San Jose back-to-back, LA, Anaheim. Edmonton, those guys are terrible.
So, like, now's the time, right? Like, if you can win, like, you play Toronto on Saturday, so if you beat Mini in Columbus and you have to beat Montreal next time you play them, and then you play Vancouver, like, these are five teams that are much better than. So, if you can, they got to start banking some points at some point, right?
Yeah, it's time to start digging around and just.
Like, exactly. Like, they need to get on a bit of a run here. And I know, like, right, like, they're what, three? They've won three of their last four. Is that right? Yeah.
Yep.
Three of their last four. So keep doing that. If you lose one, get right back and win the next one. So good way to put it. Time to stop digging around.
Cushion is a pillow with feathers, right?
You know, for everyone that thought I was a liability in the playoffs, you can kiss my ass.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.